Sunday morning, Sunday night. You can go into the Bible study on Wednesday evening. Do you remember she went running into the church that was empty, except the pastor was standing there? The only thing that will make a difference is whether or not you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Doesn't matter who you sit beside. Doesn't matter how many times you've told someone else. What will matter is, have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? So let's make sure this morning that we are all washed in the blood of the Lamb. And let's leave here today and make sure everyone that we know knows Christ as their Savior. He's coming soon. We're just listening for the sound of a trumpet. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? How about it now? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Look, the third verse, we'll sing that. It says, when the bridegroom cometh. Those are old words. I want you to understand what that said. When the bridegroom cometh, who's the bridegroom? All he's waiting for is for the father to look to him and say, son, go get your bride. That's it. I'm done. I've had enough. When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's sing that. When the bridegroom cometh, will your souls be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You say, boy, you are strange this morning. I don't understand what in the world you're doing. Well, here's what I'm going to do this morning. Brother Justin, he always says the altar is always open. And we've given a couple of verses of invitation already. And we're here this morning. We all just family. We all family, friends, love one another. And the worst thing in the world that could happen is if we would leave this place this morning and Jesus come back before tonight, and some of y'all come rushing in here to try and come back to church, and we'd be gone home. Work with me, okay? Do you believe that could happen? Jesus could come back today and He'd be right on time. Amen? Somebody say amen right there. Are you ready to meet Him today? If you are not, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and something that's been said already this morning has caused you to realize that, we're going to sing another verse. Go ahead and give an invitation. Strangely enough, We got this thing way out of line sometimes. I know the Lord's been working on me all morning. Sunday school class figured that out. I told them, I said, hey, if y'all catch me out in the parking lot this morning singing I Am Redeemed, just look over me, okay? I'll be back. We get it all out of line. We need to make sure things are right before the end. Amen. So we can worship here for a little while here in a few moments. Don't worry about the time. We've got plenty of time. We've wasted enough of that already. Amen. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, now would be the time for you to come down and ask the Lord to come into your heart so that you won't be left behind. Let's sing. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. It is so good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. And if you are visiting with us, you are our special guest. And so good to have you here today. We're excited about what the Lord's doing here at Calvary. We have much going on. We are just before Jubilee. That's right around the corner. It's hard to believe that. It's almost February. We'll hit February this week before we come back next Sunday morning. And March is right around the corner, the first week of March. March the 3rd through the 7th will be Jubilee. And again, we're very excited about that. Make that a matter of prayer. Pray for each one. You have that in your program that's right down here in the front. It's online. You can find that. It's on Facebook. Be inviting folks. Let's fill up the house of God. We know each speaker is going to be here and each choir. The diplomats will be here with us most of the week. And let's just pray for each one. Pray for ourselves that we would be what God would have us to be and be where God would have us to be. I have a special prayer request for you this morning. Please remember Hamilton Burchell. That's you'll remember that's Greg and Andy's son. He was in a skiing accident yesterday and tore up his leg and knee pretty bad. And they're bringing him back. Pretty much shattered his leg. They're bringing him back now for surgery. And so please make that a matter of prayer. Hamilton. I'm sorry? Hamilton. What did I say? Yes, Hamilton. Hamilton Burchell. So please remember him in prayer. And imagine what they're going through, trying to get him back here. And they'll be trying to get him set up for surgery. So please remember Hamilton in prayer and the family in prayer as well. So, and there are many other prayer requests. Remember Barbara Ann, still in the hospital. And we want to remember her in prayer. And again, there's many that are going through. Brother Harold Dolph, remember him in prayer. And he's just a little down. We need to lift him up in prayer. And not feeling well as also, so please let's remember Brother Harold. And it's great to see everyone. The choir's looking good this morning. Great to have Brother David with us. Had a little procedure this week, and we're thankful that the Lord's brought him back to the house of the Lord and in his place this morning. And many of you are going through some difficult times, and we know that. And we're just going to lift you up in prayer this morning as well. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to be in our service this morning. Pray for our offering. Pray for our pastor. The Lord knows exactly what we need. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Father, we love you. And this morning we want to pause just for a few moments. Lord, not just to bring you our list of things that we need, because you know all of those, but Lord, we do have requests, and Lord, we ask that you would be with each one, those especially that are sick. And for Hamilton, Lord, we pray that you would touch him in a very special, powerful way. You know that the surgery he's going to need. And Lord, we pray that you would prepare the surgeon even now, Lord, that can be taken care of swiftly and that the surgery be performed quickly and his healing, Lord, is already on the way would be our prayer. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with those in the hospitals, those that are going through difficult times. Lord, we do get discouraged many times and down. And Lord, we pray that you'd lift us up, Lord, above the shadows and the cares of this world, that we would walk close to you. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with us in a very powerful way today. Lord, we have felt your presence in this place, Lord, already. And Lord, we felt that when we came in this morning, even in choir practice and in our class this morning, and Lord, now in the worship service, Lord, we worship you and we praise you and we love you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be able to come into this place today. Pray again, Lord, you touch our pastor. Lord, I know that you have given him a message. Lord, help him to deliver it, Lord, with power and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. May our hearts and minds be open to receive, Lord, what you have for us. Lord, as the choir sings in a few moments, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the anchor, Lord, for our very soul. Now, Lord, touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know what is needed here at Calvary. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit and your power. Touch souls, Lord. Continue to draw hearts. And we'll praise you and thank you for all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen.
journey through the long dark night, out on the open sea. By faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me, and the anchor but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had vision and I've had dreams. I've even held them in my hands, but I never knew those dreams could slip right through like they were only grains of sand. But the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging sea, but the anchor holds the storm. Now I have been young, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty these eyes have seen. But it was in the night I fought the storms of my life. That's where God proved his love. But the anchor, it still holds. Though this ship is battered, the anchor still holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds. I raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the
take our Bibles this morning and turn to the New Testament book of Acts. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8 this morning for a few moments. And we're going to attempt to bring a message to you. I feel the Lord has laid on our heart for this particular service. Acts chapter number 8, and I'm going to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will get into the message just after we pray. Heavenly Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thankful for who you are and for what you do. As Brother Don preached last Sunday night, we're thankful for this open door into your throne room, where we know we're being heard and we have that confidence. Father, I pray that for the next few moments that you would help me to rightly divide your word and Holy Spirit communicate it to the hearts of your people. And my prayer is by the time we leave today, all hearts will be settled and all hearts will be sure of salvation and service. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Acts chapter number 8 this morning, we have Philip, and God had at least half the chapter of Acts 8. God has used Philip greatly in Samaria to win Samaria to Jesus. But then things kind of change, and the course changes for Philip. To this point, as I said, God is using Philip to preach. And the Bible says, in fact, if you look in verse number 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. We know he won Samaria to Jesus. And then in verse number 8, we know that the city was filled with great joy. Wouldn't that be a blessing for Powder Springs, Hiram and Dallas and all surrounding areas, Georgia, the United States, the world, for all to be filled with great joy? I had an unusual encounter with an older man at Walmart yesterday. And I won't get into the story particularly, but it was kind of unusual. This older man, he kept following me through Walmart. And I said, I want to zig and zag one more time with my buggy. And if he's still behind me, I'm just going to ask him, can I help him with anything? And I don't work for Walmart. And so finally, I zigged and zagged, and he was right on my heels. And I turned around and said, sir, is everything okay? Can I help you with anything? And he was just gleeing, smiling, and he told me two jokes. Bro, Don, I don't know what's going on at Walmart nowadays. He told me two jokes, and he was just spilling over with laughter, and it seemed like joy. Then I said something to him. I said, well, you know, laughter is good medicine. And he quoted that verse in the Old Testament in Proverbs to me. And here's what he said. He said, you know what, son? He said, if everybody would laugh, would feel better, and we'll be living in a better world. And I said, amen to that. And but, you know, the truth is that when a person gets saved and Jesus invades their life, there is joy. And what a difference Jesus makes in a life. But if Powder Springs, if Hiram, if Dallas, if the world would just trust him, it'd be a greater place to live in. We see Philip, and he's being used greatly for God in Samaria, and he won Samaria to Jesus. But then I want you to notice in verse number 26, God changes courses with Philip. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. God changes courses with Philip. He used them greatly in Samaria, but now he's changing path for Philip. I want to use that verse as a launching pad, and I want to preach a few moments on this subject, changing courses. Changing courses. I believe that there's times in life where things can be going one way for a long period of time, but then God can change our course. He has a way of changing things. While he changes not, he does change our courses at times. I love what Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 and 6 says. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And notice here, and he shall direct thy path. That verse tells us that God is in pursuit of us, and he is directing us. He is guiding us. In our part, what's contingent upon that is trusting, not with a little bit of our heart, not with some, but with all of our hearts. And that's a job this morning to do that. It takes practice. It takes the mercy of God and grace of God to do that for us with all of our heart to trust him. And so we have a God this morning that changes courses in our life. He may have us in one path in one moment, and then he may change courses in another moment. God at times does that, and he did that with Philip. This morning I want to mention just a few things that surround this story in Acts chapter number 8. And I don't know, maybe someone here may be on a course, and maybe you feel like God is knocking on your heart to change courses. Maybe someone's here this morning, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, as it's been mentioned this morning. But maybe God is knocking on your heart and says to you, that's enough of that kind of living. That's enough of that kind of lifestyle. Change courses and trust me. Whatever the situation is this morning, God knows what we need. And we serve a God who has us on a journey. The first thing I want you to notice in verse number 1 through 25, we see a happening place. A happening place. Number one, in verse 1, we see that there's persecution of the church. Notice what he says in verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Great persecution had arose during this situation with Stephen and things that surrounded Stephen and his death. The church was being persecuted at the hand of Saul and others. And this was what was taking place in verse number 1 through 25, at least those verses, at least, excuse me. But I want you to notice in verse number 2, not only persecution of the church was happening, but Stephen's funeral was happening. The Bible says in verse number 2, and devout men carried Stephen, pallbearers. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Can you imagine all of these things taking place at one time? Persecution of the church and then the death of Stephen and Stephen being carried to his burial by pallbearers, devout men, faithful men that loved him and loves the Lord. Not only that, which makes this a happening place, but in verse number 4 we see the dispersing of the word. The Bible says in verse 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They tried to stop the word through these persecutions and through the stoning of Stephen and Saul making havoc, literally dragging Christians out of the house, men and women, boys and girls, tried to stop it. But what happened was it dispersed the people of God. Some went here and some went there and some went there. And instead of stopping the word of God from being spread, it dispersed the word of God to being spread. I think about on one occasion when Paul was in prison, they tried to stop the word of God from going forth. But really, it was an occasion to spread the word of God. And Paul had a jailer, or he had a soldier attached to him or nearby taking watch, is what I believe anyway. And he witnessed to Paul. He witnessed to the soldier, I'm sure. He witnessed to the officer. And the Bible records that in the book of Philippians, that the word of God was not bound there, but it was dispersed. We have a lot of things taking place here in Acts 8. We have this persecution of the church. We have Stephen's funeral. We have the dispersing of the word, but then we have the receiving of the word. Look in verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. They embraced the word. They received the word. Notice this as well. There's a certain sorcerer named Simon in verse number 9 through 25. This sorcerer, Simon, it records that he made a profession of faith. Look in verse number 13. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Not only this sorcerer named Simon, we have a recorded profession of faith here in verse 13, but also in verse 18, we see that this same Simon had attempted to purchase the apostles' power. Look in verse number 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Kind of causes you to question the salvation, doesn't it? Or maybe it takes a long time for some to come around and respect the things of God. But in chapter number 8, verse number 1 through 25, we have all of these things taking place. We have the persecution of the church. We have the dispersing of the word, Stephen's funeral. We have the receiving of the word. And we have this situation, this odd account of Simon the sorcerer, number one, making a profession. That's great. But then the attempt to purchase the apostles' power. All kinds of things were taking place. I want to say this morning, when we're serving Jesus, things will be happening. kind of like here in Acts 8, these first few verses we read to you. There's good, there's bad, there's indifferent, there's all kinds of things. And when we serve Jesus in the Christian life, we can expect things to happen. Not only rough and rugged things, but great things. It all comes together when a person serves Jesus. There's all kinds of things happening. The only time when nothing's happening in the Christian life is when someone's not in the game and not serving the Lord. So from time to time, we have to check and see if we're sitting on the sidelines or actually in the game. The Gospel of Mark this morning is a happening book. The key word in the Gospel of Mark is straightway. And you'll find this word a lot of times throughout the Gospel of Mark. You'll find straightway, 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 which means immediately. The Gospel of Mark pictures Christ as servant. And he's serving in the Gospel of Mark. And he is busy. He's in a hurry. He's healing and miracles are taking place. He's preaching the word. He is serving and things are happening. And so this morning we have that. In one particular course in life, we have that things are happening here in the account in Acts chapter number 8, our verses. We have all of these things, the funeral, the persecution, the dispersing of the word, the receiving of the word, Simon the sorcerer. And that's the kind of God we serve, is a God who likes to have us in the midst of his will and serving and winning souls to Jesus. And so we see a happening place in Acts 8. But then, number two, I want you to notice our text verse, verse number 26. We see a heavenly prompting. He says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And so now the Lord, through his messenger, if not the Lord himself, makes a personal visit, sends a message to Philip. And keep in mind, Philip is at already a happening place. People are getting saved and lives are changing. Yes, there's some roughness involved, but that goes along with the game. Being in the midst of God's will, there's all these things. But now this heavenly prompting. Have you ever been in a place in life where things were happening? I mean, there's good, there's bad, there's ugly. Maybe you feel like you've been used in a place and God is totally using you, but all of a sudden there's this heavenly prompting. And God sometimes changes our courses in life. And sometimes he has another mission for us to go on. I want you to notice in verse number 26, the place that Philip was directed to go. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. God was literally moving Philip from this happening place to a desert place. The word desert here means lonesome. It means sad even. And sometimes in life, and it's hard to really understand. But God at one moment can be using a person here and have you planted here. But then something over here he's wanting you to do. And he'll send us these heavenly promptings. He'll speak to our hearts. He'll speak through his word ultimately. And he'll speak in our prayer time. And God will arrange things. And he'll structure things so that we might listen to his calling. And sometimes God will remove us from happening places to desert places. I wonder if anybody's at a desert place this morning. You're at a lonely place. You're at a place that seems like it's a desert. I want you to think to yourself and pray about it before you think about bailing from that place. Because God just might have you there for a specific reason and a purpose. Remember in the Old Testament, Elijah, God was before Ahab. He prophesied, no rain, no dew for 3 years. Then what happened next? "Arise, Elijah, and go over by the brook called Cherith." And that was a brook. It was an isolated place. It was a place where it was just Elijah. Elijah was behind the scenes. And here we have in the Old Testament a prophet, the prophet Elijah. He was just before King Ahab. No dew, no rain. He was operating out of his gift. But now God changed courses and he says, "Elijah, I want you to go over here to this isolated place." Wait a minute. This is a great prophet of God, Elijah, that he's supposed to be preaching. He's supposed to be on the front line. Why in the world would God tuck him behind the scenes? God at times has us behind the scenes and not on the forefront. And many times it's because he is preparing something greater in our life. I think about John the Baptist, who was in the wilderness for all of those years. But the Bible records and says that he grew strong in spirit. You see, God is in the process of making us strong spiritually. If we blink and flutter at things now, and every time the wind blows, how are we going to move on with Jesus down the road? There's greater storms we're going to encounter, church. There's greater struggles down the road. And we have to be prepared for those things. Well, we have Elijah. He was behind the scenes at the brook Cherith. But what about John the Revelator? The Bible says that he was exiled to an island called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of our Lord. He was in the perfect will of God, preaching the word of God. But then all of a sudden, he was captivated. He was arrested. And he was exiled, made fun of. You say, what was God's purpose in that? I'm glad you're asking. Because it was at this lonely place, this tiresome, sad place where Jesus had all of the attention of John because he wanted to show John some things that we're reaping today from God's word, the book of Revelation. Before you bail out of that lonely place, I want you to ask yourself, could God be speaking to me here about something? Could God be leading me here concerning a thing? John was exiled to a place called Patmos. It was a lonely place, but it was there where God spoke to him. I want to give personal testimony that within my short ministry, ours as a family, that it wasn't in very populated places. It wasn't in places that I was even known. Sometimes people didn't even know my name, but God was behind the scenes and he was working things and he was training me, training my wife and even my daughter for the things ahead. There were times where we wanted to quit and give up. There were times where we felt like, well, Lord, are you contradicting your word? Why are we going through this when you called us into the ministry? Why am I working at the funeral home if you want me to be a pastor? Lord, why am I working at Georgia Tech when you want me to be a pastor? Don't say anything right there. By the way, you know what GT stands for, don't you? God's team. Moving on. Why am I working at a place and they say that the student center at Georgia Tech, the doors open and close at the student center, the main place for the students to go. There's classrooms, there's cafeteria. 22,000 times one day, open and close, in and out. I was a GSM, guest service manager. I had a phone. Every time anybody would call into the student center, it went to my phone. Went to my phone on my hip. And me and a man, another guy, we alternated each and every day. Is it your day? Is it my day? And so we went back and forth every time. Thank you for calling Georgia Tech Students Center. May I help you? Yes, I got a problem up on the third floor in this classroom, and class is filled with students. We got a shortage on the screen. I'll be right there to take care of that. I had no idea what I was doing. But I went right in there, and I made it happen somehow. And now I know a little bit about audio and video. Just a little. Poquito. You say, what was all of that? Well, that was needful. I like to thank for what I'm doing now. Because, you see, when you are in a position, and I'll just continue to use Georgia Tech, I can't say, why are you calling me? Why'd you call my phone, man? I'm trying to take a lunch break here. Why are you disrupting my day? No, that was my job, is to be there. And whatever was taking place, I was the guest services man, the funeral home. And listen, we all could testify at times with things that God has brought us through and places God has had us at in order that we may be able to do what we're doing now. We see John, he was on the island called Patmos, but he was perfectly positioned to hear and to see what God wanted him to. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It was a wilderness place. But there the battle was won against the devil at that particular time. Notice again in verse number 26. Not only do we see the place directed to go, this heavenly prompting, but then we see the provision given. Verse 26 and 29 as well. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And then look in verse number 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. God had a reason for sending Philip where he was at, into that desert, that lonely, lonesome place. And the reason was, is because there was a man there, and there was a chariot there waiting. That chariot was just for Philip to go to minister to this man. There was a provision there. There was a reason, a purpose for why God called him there. We were talking about Elijah a moment ago. Elijah was led to Cherith, an isolated, lonely place, but it was there where he was fed by the ravens. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, it was there that he was ministered to by the angels. When John was on that isle called Patmos, he was positioned totally to hear and see God. A provision of quietness. And the Lord had provision for John there on Patmos, a provision of quietness. He had the provision to Jesus to be ministered by the angels, the provision to be fed by that brook to Elijah. And here, Philip had that provision. He had the purpose. There was the chariot there. When God changes courses for us in life, and it may be that He is calling us to leave a very happening place, wherever that might be, but then wherever God leads, there's purpose there. There's provision there. If Elijah didn't obey, then he wouldn't have been fed and learned how to live by faith. If John didn't go, John didn't surrender to the Lord concerning Patmos, he wouldn't have seen the visions and heard from the Lord. And so there's an element of faith when God leaves us or God directs us to a place. We see a heavenly prompting in verse number 29. Under this heavenly prompting, the provision in verse number 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So there's a heavenly prompting. There's a provision when these heavenly promptings come. And then there's a place directed to go when these heavenly promptings come. But then notice this as well. We see a helped person. A helped person. Look at verse 27. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch or officer of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. We see a helped person. In verse number 27, this person is described of great authority. He arose and went in verse 27, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. And so the Lord literally removes Philip from a happening place to one person in a desert place of great authority. You say, what does that have anything to do with us this morning? Well, in the book of 1 Corinthians, turn to 1 Corinthians for a moment if you would, chapter number 1, verse 26. This is something that God does to be glorified. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, he says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." And so we see the purpose as to why the Lord sent him there for this one purpose. It was a man of great authority. And here Philip was going to minister unto him. The kind of person that was helped was a great man, a man of authority, a eunuch, the Bible says, an officer. I want to say that many times God will direct us and guide us to mighty people, wise people, people that are well educated even. And he uses people that, well, that are educated as well, but sometimes uneducated people to educate the educated. The kind of person helped was a man of great authority. That's just what God does. He changes courses for us in life, and he has people who he wants us to help. Sometimes they're great people of authority and stature. But then notice, if you would, in verse number 30 and 31, we see the kind of task given. Acts 8, verse number 30 and 31. "And Philip ran thither to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." In verse number 30, Philip asked him a question about understanding. And then verse number 31, this man says, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Notice the words "guide me." It just simply means to show the way. This man needed someone to show him the way to Jesus. Show him the way through the scriptures. And God will do that. He will lead us to people who he wants to use us to help show the way. Notice something else. The kind of privilege experienced. Look in verse number 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." God changed his course again, but I want you to notice that Philip had the privilege of leading this man to the Lord and baptizing him, all because he was willing to leave the happening place to the isolated place. God changes our course at times. I want to mention this, and then we'll move on in just a moment. In verse number 36, he says, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Verse number 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then in verse number 38 and 39, he baptizes him. I'm not going to say a lot about this other than saying in a lot of modern versions of the Bible, verse 37 is totally removed. And if verse number 37 is totally removed, we have a works salvation. We have baptismal regeneration. In verse number 36, he says, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized?" A lot of modern versions, the NIV is one of them. It skips verse 37. It's totally removed. In verse number 38, it says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him." I don't make a big to-do on this, but some things you got to make a big to-do. Because there's nothing about baptism that saves a person. And it records here in the King James that Philip said in verse 37, "If thou believest with all thine heart." A person has to accept Jesus before they get baptized. Baptism is identification that you're saying, "I've died with Jesus, I was buried, and I'm placing myself with him in the grave. And as he came up, I'm coming up out of this water." And it's a public confession and profession to everyone that I'm a new person. That's why baptism, that's why immersion is important, because Jesus was buried. He wasn't sprinkled and he wasn't dipped. He was actually buried. And so we see in our verses 27 through 40 that we have a helped person. This person was a great, mighty man of great authority. The task that was given was to guide him, and the privilege was that he led him to the Lord and baptized him. But then the kind of job size it was after one person. One person. I want to say this morning, give a little personal testimony as we get ready for a verse of invitation. 8 years ago, the Lord called us from the Austell area to Powder Springs, not that far of a difference to drive. And he placed us where we're living now in Powder Springs. And I believe it was our first day there. We were moving in, and one of our next door neighbors was a young teenage boy. And he came over and he started quizzing me. "Hey, y'all moving in? Hey, where you work at? Hey." I mean, just question after question after question. And he would watch us go to church. Come and go, come and go. And then he finally, every time I was out in the yard, he would come over and start asking me Bible questions. Well, one day he got saved. And he was the first one I baptized. And today, he finished school. He's got a great job. He's moved out of the house. He's married and living in Noonan. And the reason why I said that is because I feel like that's probably one of our number one purposes of living where we're at right now. But you know, sometimes God changes courses. And as we get ready to give the invitation, maybe you're here and maybe God is nudging you. Maybe God has put his finger on something in your life. Maybe there is a change of course, a change of action that God is wanting you to do. As we stand to our feet this morning, you come. You feel free to respond. Keep in mind, Philip was at a happening place to a lonely place, but it ultimately led to a man getting saved. You come, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm.